Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it's there to speak to us today. Help me as I speak to be faithful to your word, to hear your, to be guided by your spirit, and help all of us as we listen to hear what you're saying to us. In your name we pray. Amen. There's a famous quote by C.S. Lewis that's addressed to Christians, and it says this: is there enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? Is there enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? So if you're arrested and they wanted to try and prove that you're a Christian, would they be able to do it? How would they be able to do it? I mean, people come to church that aren't Christians, so just being here on a Sunday morning doesn't prove that you're a Christian. What signs should we be looking for? What evidence is there that someone truly is a Christian? Well, I hold that thought. We're going to be looking over the next few weeks at the letter to Thessalonians, the first letter to Thessalonians. Paul wrote it, along with Silas and Timothy, to the church in Thessalonica, probably in about AD 50. So that was only 20 years after Jesus had resurrected from the dead. And he'd founded the church in Thessalonica, which is in northern Greece, and that was then part of a region called Macedonia. And he'd probably travelled from there afterwards and ended up in Corinth via Athens. And he was writing from Corinth to encourage the new Christians, the new church that was there. And he starts the letter, like he starts a lot of letters, but with a thanksgiving. It's good to say thank you, isn't it? And he starts by thanking God for the Thessalonians. And he's telling them how he thanks God for them. And in doing this, he's not just trying to encourage them, but actually he's trying to say to them, these are the things that you're doing really well. Keep doing them. Do them more and more. Do you get that sense? That's why you thank people, isn't it? You thank them to encourage them to do well, particularly children or young people. And so actually, if you want to see what evidence you look for in the kind of things that as a true disciple of Christ we should expect, then the things that Paul's thanking the Thessalonians for would answer that question. Okay? So hopefully you see the link between the two first parts of the sermon. So let's think about what the evidence is here. I'm going to talk about triads. Now, when I talk about triads, I'm not talking about Chinese mafia, okay? If you know that's a word for them. I'm talking about sets of three, okay? And there are a few sets of three in this passage. I want to think about, first of all, the triad of inner change that happens when people become true disciples of Christ, the triad of inner change. And if you look at verse 3, you see a triad there: faith, love, and hope. Actually, if you look at verse 10, 9 and 10 at the end, there's also a triad. And I think the two are linked. The faith, love, and hope are inner attitudes, aren't they? They're things in our hearts that guide and direct us. But when people have become Christians, as the Thessalonians had recently done in the last year, there's been a change for them. And actually, in verses 9 and 10, it talks about the kind of change there's been when they became Christians, about a year or so before Paul wrote this letter. And that change links, I think, with the three attitudes. So I'm going to try and explain that. So, first of all, faith. Faith is who you trust in, or what you trust in. And actually, for most people that aren't true Christians, there's lots of things, different things they might trust in. They might trust in money to sort out their problems. They might trust in individual people or politicians or ideas or philosophies or other religions. There's all sorts of things we can trust in to guide our lives, to maybe help save us in some way. And in Paul's time, there were lots of idols that were linked with those ideas. But Paul says, look, what happened to you? You turned from idols, from trusting in these other things, these man-made things, these worldly things, to trust in the true and living God. And the implication was that those other ways are false and dead. And actually, it's not just that Paul is saying you took the Christian idea and you added it to all the other ideas, and so you can pick and choose which one you're going to follow today or which one you're going to listen to today. No. Those are false and dead. You've taken Jesus as a true and living way. You're going to follow him ultimately. And you can test all other things by what he says and who he is. And trust in him for your salvation through his death and resurrection. And nothing else. So when he's talking about faith, he's talking about this turning to the true and living God, turning to Jesus. And when he talks about love, I think actually in the Bible, love can mean all sorts of things, and it does refer to the emotional side of what's in our heart, but actually it's more practical. And in many ways, when the Bible talks about love, it's talking about this idea of service. So we know Jesus shows his love for us by dying on the cross, but he also says that he served us by giving his life as a ransom for sin. God loves us so much. God has served us so much. That's how we're saved. And so our calling is to love God in response. And we love him by serving him, by having a desire to serve God. And we see that in verse 9, second part of verse 9, that he says he turned to the true and living God to serve him. And thirdly, the other inner attitude or the inner change is hope. Hope is looking forward to something better and trusting it will come. And as Christians, we live in a world that we know is messed up. You only have to watch the news. Actually, things are a bit better than they were last Sunday, weren't they? Aren't they? But there's still lots of rubbish going on in the world. There's lots of wars. There's lots of problems. There's lots of rubbish going on in our lives. We live in a messed up world. We live messed up lives. But we hope and we long that one day Jesus will come again and he will sort everything out. So that's the triad of inner change, the inner attitudes of our heart. But you might say, well, Paul, you can't convict someone by what's going on in their heart. That's hidden. It's in here. But the thing is, if you truly have these inner attitudes, they will show themselves. And that's what Paul says in verse 3, isn't it? He says that these things will show themselves in work, in labor, in endurance. So let's very quickly, because I'm running out of time already, but very quickly think about how these things work. So the first thing, what is faith? What is the work of faith? But Paul's not quite explicit there about that, but actually if our faith is turning to the true and living God from these false idols and knowing that we're saved in him, then surely the work of faith is to help others to know that faith, others to believe and others to trust. We want to share that faith beyond our ways. And if you look at verse 8, it says there that this is what the Thessalonians were doing. The Lord's message rang out from them. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. Their faith has been shared. As Christians, we want to do that. We want not just hold on to it in our hearts, but share it with others. Secondly, their love. I think this is talking about love of God initially. But actually, what does it mean to love God? It means to pray to him, to praise him, to worship him, to come to church and glorify him and all that sort of thing. So prayer is important. It's also important to share the good news. We talked about that. But if we love God, we're also called to love others, to care for others. It's been great to have Sarah here this morning and sharing the way that Safe Families enables care for people in the community that really need it from people in the church. It's a great facility, a great way of doing that. It already happens informally in many ways, but it's good to be able to reach people that otherwise wouldn't be connected in that. We're called to love others. And actually, this is what the Thessalonians were doing. Again, if you look at chapter 4, verse 10, it says, and in fact, you do love all the brothers and sisters throughout Macedonia, and we urge you, brothers, do so more and more. And thirdly, hope. What does it mean to hope? It means to endure, to keep going, to stick with the faith, even when things are tough, even when it's hard, especially when it's hard to be a Christian. And it says in verse 6, it says this, you became imitators of us and the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. With the joy. Despite suffering, there was joy. Paul and Silas, what does it mean by imitate them? Paul and Silas had been in Philippi before coming to Thessalonia. And at the end of their time in Philippi, they'd been arrested, they'd been flogged, they'd been beaten, they'd been thrown into jail. How did they respond? They sang. They praised God. They rejoiced in him. And the story's quite interesting. You might want to read about it in Acts, but I haven't got time to share more of it now. But after that, they ended up coming to Thessalonia. And instead of being quiet and being a bit more cautious, they went straight back in the synagogue and started telling people about Jesus again and probably shared their experience from Philippi. And it says the Thessalonians, who also ended up suffering for their faith, also ended up rejoicing in their faith because they had hope. Following Christ can be tough now, but we know we'll be far better off in the long term. Do you see how the triad of outward action flows from the triad of inner attitudes, inner change that happens when we become Christians? So what about you? Where are you in your faith? I've got a triad of questions to ask you very quickly. Firstly, does your faith, does your inner attitude make a difference to the way you live your life? Or is your faith just a secret inside? Secondly, are your actions actually motivated by faith, love, and hope? You can do things that look like you're a Christian, but there can be all sorts of reasons you might do them. Are they really motivated by trusting what God has done for you, that He is a living and true God, by wanting to serve Him, and by knowing that one day Christ will come again? And actually, a true Christian needs to be able to answer both yes to both questions. Inevitably, none of us are perfect in these areas. The Thessalonians weren't perfect. But Paul wanted to encourage them to become more and more like this. Are you seeking to grow more and more with those inner attitudes of faith, love, and hope, and to live them out in your life? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. Help us to live that out in our lives, that we may bring you honor and glory. Amen.